Welcome to the world of Aeora, a news and lore podcast about the Pillars of Eternity games, as well as Obsidian Entertainment's upcoming release, Avowed. Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the world of Aeora. I'm your host Eric, aka Gingerino. Thanks everyone for joining me as we dive into another episode where we look at the history, lore, and game mechanics of Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2, gearing up for the release of Avowed. For those wondering why I pair all those games together, it's because they share the same fantasy setting known as Aeora. And so, as the theory goes, if we look into those Pillars of Eternity games, we can glean some insights and therefore appreciate the things that are going to happen in Avowed, the narratives that are going to unfold, the cameos, the Easter eggs, all those kind of a thing. And just enjoy it a little more. Plus, you know, if you're into fantasy stuff, you're a huge nerd or geek like me, then this is just kind of your thing. As well, I think that this can also be very useful for inspiration with tabletop role-playing games if you're trying to build out the world of Aeora at the table for a D&D game or something like that. In today's episode, I am going to be discussing one of the paladin orders that exist within this world. Now, I've already done an episode on paladins before, which is episode 26. And in that episode, I discuss paladins in general, like what the paladin class is. And more specifically, if you're wanting to look at another particular type of paladin, the Bleakwalkers, I did an episode on them, episode 58. But if you don't even know what a paladin is, then none of this makes sense to you. So what is a paladin and what is a Bleakwalker? What is the paladin order, the shield bearers of St. Ilcha, and what is it we're going to be talking about today? I'm going to dive into that lore right away. But first, a little bit of news for you, not Avowed or Pillars of Eternity related, but Obsidian related, and something I, personally speaking, I want people to know about, and that is that the Obsidian game Alpha Protocol is now up and available on GOG. For those who didn't know, there is a spy thriller RPG game that came out in 2010, and it was developed by Obsidian Entertainment. Two mixed reviews, if I remember correctly, and I never really did get to play it, but it's an Obsidian game, and if you're a fan of Obsidian games, as you might be since you're listening to this show, you might have wanted to play it. If you had gone on to GOG looking to buy it, you wouldn't be able to because it was delisted. I believe it was because the music rights had run out, like the licenses expired, and so the game wasn't legally allowed to be sold. So unless you already owned a copy, you were kind of SOL in that regard. However, it seems that, I guess they've renewed their licenses or something, and the game is now re-released on GOG, and apparently there's been some bug fixes as well, there's been some optimization, I don't know all the details, but either way, the game is out and able for you to purchase. It's not very expensive, and I don't know if it's good, to be honest. I mean, I trust Obsidian to make good games, but this is earlier in their career, so who knows? But regardless, if that's something you're interested in, go and check it out. I don't know if there's ever going to be a day when it gets delisted again. I don't know if this is just up for good now, or if this is up until the licenses expire again, in however long that takes. But yeah, just putting that in front of you in case you wanted to go. All right, that's everything that I think you need to know for that, so let's dive into today's lore.
I'm curious. What exactly did you find there?
So today I'm going to be discussing the Shield Bearers of St. Ilcha. But as well, before we get into that, I'm going to have to discuss what a Paladin Order even is, because if you don't understand what that is, then you're not going to understand the Shield Bearers. Paladins are a class of character that you see in a lot of fantasy media, particularly video games where it's explicitly stated that your character is a paladin, or if you're used to playing tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons, then you're familiar with one of the class of character, a paladin. Paladins are generally the religious zealots dressed up in armor that are going out into battle for, like, spiritual purposes. It's not spiritual warfare, it's actual warfare, but done for spiritual reasons, I guess? Those are usually what you're thinking of. In Pillars of Eternity, paladins are described as martial zealots devoted to a god, ruler, or even a way of life. They can be found in any culture where a fanatical group of like-minded individuals have formed a warrior society and dedicated to advancing their cause. Yeah, so if you're playing Pillars of Eternity, or you're playing a tabletop role-playing game like Dungeons & Dragons, or World of Warcraft, or whatever it is that you're doing, you can expect to see a paladin class. And like I said, it's usually the character who's in some form of an armor from head to toe, has a shield and a sword, some sort of holy symbol, and they're able to invoke the power of their deity, and with their zealousness and their faith and their conviction, they move forward to smite the evil that is set before them. And this is the kind of character we think of. And Pillars of Eternity has paladins as well. It's not a surprise that we see them there. So with that idea in mind of that being a paladin, what is a paladin order? Well, the Paladin Order is just what it sounds like. It's a particular order or group of paladins. If we're thinking of a paladin as a person who is a martial zealot, who is devoted to a god, a way of life, or a philosophy, as kind of like their cornerstone of their identity and who they are and why they do what they do as a paladin, it makes sense that there would be a variety of them, right? You wouldn't just find paladins of one type throughout the world, because there would be people who have different opinions, different views, and that would create different kinds of paladins. And so you have these different paladin orders coming up. I've discussed on episode 58, I believe I said it was, an order of paladins called Bleakwalkers. These are the Bleakwalker paladins. And the ideals behind the Bleakwalker paladins, although they look like they're just evil paladins for evil's sake, is actually a little bit more nuanced than that. Don't get me wrong, they're still evil. They're definitely evil, even if they are trying to rationalize what they do. But there is more there than just the bad guy for being a bad guy's sake. Bleakwalker paladins are a group of paladins that believe in order to stop war from coming, you need to use violence and aggression to mercilessly stop it before it even happens. Bleakwalkers would be the type of people who have no problem traveling back in time and, you know, shooting tyrannical leader in the head as an infant before they did anything bad, because hey, that stopped war, right? So if you want to think in Earth's history of someone who did something really bad in this world, and there's a lot of people you can think of, a Bleakwalker would have no problem going back in time and solving that problem, quote unquote, when that person is in their infant stages, before they technically did anything wrong. And that's just how a Bleakwalker would think. That's their idea behind it. Now, that's the philosophy behind Bleak War and Bleak Walkers, but whether or not the actual individuals follow that, you know, I guess there's obviously going to be some variance. But you understand what I'm getting at? We have an order of paladins, and this is their belief, and this is how they live out. And the paladin order that we're going to be discussing a little more at length today, the Shield Bearers of Saint Ilcha, they are of a similar thing. Not in the sense that they're similar to the Bleakwalkers, but they're similar in the sense that they have a history and they have a philosophy behind what they do. And there's a typical circumstance or situations in which you would see Shield Bearers of Saint Ilcha at work. The Shield Bearers of Saint Ilcha are described in a short little blurb here. When you're trying to select your subclass in the character creation mode for Pillars of Eternity, you can read this description for the subclass in the second Pillars game. A paladin order of Aedirian warriors who emphasize honesty and diplomacy over cruelty and aggression. The Shield Bearers were founded in honor of an elven noble who helped unite the Aedir and Kulkin kingdoms after a long war. So a little bit of lore there. A paladin order of Aedirian warriors, Aedir being one of the old empires of this world, it's existed for a few centuries. It's kind of like, I always think of it as this fantasy world's equivalent of the powers of Europe, if you will, on one continent. And during the times of Pillars of Eternity 1, the game is set in the area that would have been the New World, you know, North America, stuff like that. That's just how I think of it. But yeah, Aedir is the continent from which the player character in Avowed will actually come from. Now, they emphasize honesty and diplomacy over cruelty and aggression. That is just flavor description here, but that actually alludes to a game mechanic that exists in Pillars of Eternity, one that I hope exists in Avowed in some way, shape, or form, and that's the disposition mechanic. In Pillars of Eternity, when you're playing the game, you will have choices that come up to you. You can support this person or that person. You can do this thing or you can do that thing. And sometimes when you select certain options, it will, in the background of the game's mechanics, where all the numbers are flying off in some abstract realm, it will increase the rank you have in certain dispositions. So for example, if you were a Bleakwalker paladin, you're going to want to select actions that are considered aggressive or cruel. If you do that, you will increase your disposition rank in aggression and cruelty. And as a result, it'll make your paladin abilities a little bit stronger. However, there's also the other side of the coin to this disposition mechanic. If as a Bleakwalker, you do things that are diplomatic or benevolent, it'll actually have the opposite effect. As you increase in those ranks, it'll decrease your paladin abilities and their effectiveness. Not enough to break the game, obviously, but enough that it's there. It affects the roleplay. And so just looking at that description of Shield Bearers of Saint Ilcha, and we look at the disposition mechanic for them, we find that Shield Bearers of Saint Ilcha, those paladins, should be diplomatic and honest, but they should not be aggressive and cruel. If you do diplomatic and honest things throughout the Pillars of Eternity games, then you will increase your effectiveness in your paladin abilities, and if you do things that are aggressive and cruel, you will decrease your effectiveness with your paladin abilities. This helps encourage quote-unquote proper roleplay within the game setting, because how you behave as a paladin should have a real-world result, right? It shouldn't just be something that's arbitrary and shouldn't matter, because if you start going against the very mission or philosophy of the people that you claim to follow and be a part of, then it makes sense that they would want to excommunicate you or that there would be some sort of problem with you doing that. So we'll keep that in mind as we talk about the shield bearers as we move forward and what it is a paladin of that order might look like. But to finish off this little blurb and the lore that's associated here, they were founded in honor of an elven noble who helped unite the Aedir and Kuklin kingdoms after a long war. This has to do with history involving the nation and empire of Aedir. If you're interested in learning any more about that, I do have episodes on the Aediran people, which again is the place that your player character about comes from. So if you want to know a little bit more about the culture and the place that this character comes from, you can check these episodes out. Episodes 4, 5, and 6 deal with the Aedir people in general, the culture of Aedir, and the history of Aedir, respectively. I recommend, I believe, episode 6 has the one where they talk a little bit more about where the shield bearers come from. So if you want to hear that in deeper detail, episode 6 is the one to check out. But yeah, episodes 4, 5, and 6 all talk about the Aediran people and their culture, etc., etc. But what this blurb is referring to here is shield bearers founded in honor of an elven noble helping unite these people. Essentially, the continent and the culture and the people of Aedir at one point were not the way they were. So you had this continent, this landmass that was now referred to as the Aedir continent. Originally speaking, they didn't have that name. You had the Kuklin elves that lived in the Seathwood, and these kind of elves, I believe, were called Skeltered folk, which I think just means sheltered people. I can't remember exactly. And then you had the Aedir humans, meadow folk, which are really the people of the deer. And these meadow folk, these meadow humans, and these wood elves were constantly in battle with each other. They were not getting along at all. There were these wars, there were these conflicts, and people were trying to resolve it, and people were trying to have peaceful, amicable resolutions. And eventually they did achieve some level of peace, obviously, because they actually ended up getting together and forming the empire we now know as Aedir. So the history of the Aedir Empire has to do with these meadow humans and wood elves deciding to join their two societies together, fusing them together into one new society. It truly is a marriage of one people group and another people group together to make a distinct new kind of people. One that sees the human king and the elven queen come together to form the monarchy of this new society. We're not going to get into deep detail on that stuff, but again, if you want to learn more, you can listen to episode 6 on the history of the Aediran people to learn more about that in the context of what's going on. But how the shield bearers of St. Elja come into this is in regards to a specific moment within the history of this nation forming, or at least before it formed. You see, there was this elven noble, so obviously someone from the Kuklin kingdoms, one of the wood elves, the Skelter folk people, elven noble called St. Elja. And her name is spelled E-L-C-G-A, which is a weird way to pronounce Elja, but when you start to dive into the Aediran language of this fantasy world, that's just how the pronunciation works out. You start to dive into this person and what she was doing, and there is a particular event that has to do with her, and this is where the shield bearers come out of. It comes out of the envoy of people that were accompanying her. So this is the history that, as we need to know it, for the shield bearers of St. Elja. Elja, a noblewoman emissary of the Kuklin kingdoms, so that's the wood elven faction between humans and elves, who was bartering for peace with the kingdom of Aedir in 2399 AI. That's just the calendar designation. That's not really important for this episode, but you know, if you ever see calendars in Avowed that reference AI and all that kind of a thing, then you'll see this number. You're probably going to be playing in the 2800s for Avowed, by the way. During a peace negotiation, an Aedirian archer shot Elja in the arm, provoking battle. Elja nevertheless made a second attempt at negotiation, accompanied by three elven knights whose only arms were shields they held in front of her to protect her. Elja succeeded, helping them form the Aedir Empire. She later died of her wounds, and the knights who protected her founded the Shield Bearers of St. Elja in her memory, who continue to act as guardians and diplomats in Aedir and beyond. And so there you have the birth of the Shield Bearers of St. Elja, the now living Paladin Order. So you have it's exactly everything as it sounds here. You have this elven noblewoman as an emissary from the Kuklin elves going to the kingdom of Aedir, where the humans are, trying to barter for peace to find a way for the two societies to coexist because they're currently, you know, battling each other out. And in the first instance of her trying, she just gets shot in the arm, which provokes a battle. But she tries again to barter for peace. She brings 3 elven knights with her, and the only thing that they brought with them as arms were these shields. I have to imagine they must have been pretty big shields. But the imagery of what's going on here, I think, is really important. Because if you are a knight escorting a noblewoman emissary, and you are told or you choose to not bring any offensive armaments, like a sword or a dagger or anything like that, what does that say about what you're doing? I mean, it shows, I would think, this is how I'm interpreting it, it shows a dedication to peace in that sense. You know, like the idea here that, like, we want peace so bad that we will not bring weapons into this dangerous situation to show you, at like to demonstrate to people who would see this that we're not here to fight. We will bring shields to defend ourselves from being killed, necessarily, you know, but we will not bring weapons to kill you with. And I think that that says a lot. That says volumes, that kind of action. And who knows, maybe in the canon or the headcanon of developers at Obsidian, maybe that was the reason why they allowed them to actually go in this time, because they saw this and was like, from a tactical point of view, that's such a stupid thing to do. And maybe that's what woke up the humans in the Kingdom of Aedir to be like, maybe we should actually talk to this person. And so she, Elja, succeeded. And it was these actions that helped form the Aedir Empire as we know it in the Pillars of Eternity games, and as we do in Avowed. So technically speaking, if the shield bearers of St. Elja, or at least these 3 elven knights who formed the shield bearers, didn't do what they did, Elja wouldn't have succeeded at peace negotiations, the Aedir Empire never would have happened, the Pillars of Eternity games wouldn't really have existed, neither would your character in Avowed. Now, I mean, obviously, this is all fantasy world stuff, and I can tell the difference between reality and fantasy. But the reason I think that that's important is because this is something that is really a pivotal moment within the history of your player characters in all of these games. Because the stories they have would not occur except for this fantasy, fictional, historical moment where these shield bearers did this thing. And I think that's important to know about the history of these worlds if you're wanting to get into it more, obviously. And especially if you want to do a tabletop role-playing game. And so that's the origin of the shield bearers of St. Elja. That's where they come from. These elven knights, they got together after it all happened, and they decided that they were going to form their own order of people, the shield bearers of St. Elja, in her memory, because she had died. And they wanted to continue to act as guardians and diplomats in Aedir and beyond. You can use weapons as a shield bearer. So if you play the games and you're playing a shield bearer, it's not like you're barred from ever using weapons anymore. So obviously they allow it for some instances. But that idea, that image of those 3 knights moving forward into the enemy territory with just shields, I think stands at the heart of what the shield bearers stand for. And other than being a playable subclass of Paladin in the second Pillars of Eternity game, we don't really know or see a lot of the shield bearers in the Pillars of Eternity games, and we might not see a ton of them in Avowed. We do see one thing I mentioned to them about them from last week's episode, which is kind of what sent me on this little path of looking at Paladin orders, was this off-screen companion adventure, A Solitary Mark. This is an adventure where you, the player character in the first Pillars game, you have companions that like to work for you, and as their boss, you send them out on adventures to go do stuff in your name, and, you know, they come back with treasure and loot for you. And there's this one adventure called A Solitary Mark where you send a companion out to go investigate a series of strange and distinctive markings that are appearing on people's upper left thigh. Nobody really knows what's going on there. But as part of the adventure, your companion raids the base of a cult known as the White Flame, and your companion actually gets the assistance of the shield bearers of St. Elja in order to do this. And I think a large reason why they were able to do that, narratively speaking, is because your companion traveled to the Aedirian continent where the, I guess, headquarters of the White Flame cult was, and it was in the Seathwood, which, if you'll remember, that was the area where the Aedirian elves originally came from back when they were the Kuklin elves. And so that's probably why your companion hired the shield bearers, because they're in Aedir, right? And that's where a lot of the paladins are going to come from. So that's kind of like one of the major things that I remember of note from Pillars of Eternity, but you do get mention of them a lot. You know, you see them in books that you read in the game, dialogue where people talk about them, and that's obviously within the lore itself. So we see and read about the shield bearers in different aspects, but we don't know a ton about them except for the stuff that I've already talked about regarding their history and what they stand for. until you get to the second Pillars of Eternity game, where you can actually roleplay as a shield bearer of Saint Elgia, and you belong to this paladin order of people. As you're playing the second Pillars game, you belong to this paladin order that promotes honesty and diplomacy over everything, and definitely abhors aggression and cruelty. And so that's the kind of paladin order we're talking about, that's the history of them. Now, what might this have to do with Avowed?
Is an oath worth the weight of a crown?
I think the most obvious answer is that the shield bearers would be in Avowed in some way, shape, or form. Since your character actually comes from a deer, I do wonder to a degree if we're actually able to align ourselves with the shield bearers as part of character creation. As you might have seen if you watched the Xbox Developer Direct and the Extended Developer Direct back in January of this year, and I outlined on the episodes where I talk about those Developer Directs, so if you want to go listen to those episodes, go ahead. I believe it's like 80 or 81, something like that. You can actually notice when you're in dialogue with another NPC, this is from actual gameplay footage, that there is a dialogue option that is unique to a hunter background, which implies that we'll be able to select certain backgrounds for our character. Now, in looking at Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2, there is no paladin background. There's no shield bearers of Saint Elgia background that you can select. But that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be one in Avowed. And it doesn't mean as well that there might be a second part of character creation that allows for maybe a faction that you align with. You know, maybe you come to the Living Lands as an envoy of the Aedirin nobility, royalty, but maybe you have an association with a certain faction within the Living Lands or from Aedir, and that could be Shieldbearers of Saint Elgia. As well, it being a paladin order that's heavily associated with Aedir, and they're sending you out as an envoy, it makes sense that they might have also sent out other groups of people for various purposes. And so the idea that the Shieldbearers of Saint Elgia might have a presence in the Living Lands is not out of the question, and it seems pretty plausible to me, like that might occur. So there's a chance your player character might align with them in some way, shape, or form, which would mean that you probably have to roleplay a certain way, but there's a chance we could also interact with shield bearers over in the Living Lands. They might be people that help us out. They might be people that are willing to, like, harbor us if we have wounds or something. Like, who knows? They could just be the protective people for a deer. If you think about it, you go back to this port city where a lot of other nations are. You might have something of an emissary or a place where an ambassador lives. I don't know why the word for that is escaping me right now. And the guards and the people there that might be protecting these diplomats would be the shield bearers. I mean, that's in their wheelhouse, right? Because diplomacy is part of their thing. So it makes sense that if there's any political envoys or diplomats in the Living Lands representing Aedir, that we would see the shield bearers there acting as the guard. So there's a real chance that that might be there. Other than that, I suppose, unless there's a chance for your character to actually join the shield bearers as part of the adventures and narrative in the Living Lands through the game of Avowed, I really doubt that. I feel like that's something that isn't going to be necessary because there's a lot of paladin orders, so why that one specifically? They'd probably have to allow you to pick the bad guy, you know, the Bleakwalkers as well. I don't see Obsidian making that option, not because it's not good, but because I'm like, I don't think that would contribute terribly much to the overall narrative. But then again, I don't know what the narrative is. I don't know what's going on. So maybe it does. I don't know. I just don't see it. But that's another option for something that could happen Avowed. What about you? What do you guys think? Is there any way that you could see the shield bearers coming into play for the game of Avowed? Do you want to see them in Avowed? Have you played a shield bearer before in your Pillars games or Pillars of Eternity 2 when you can actually subclass as one? What did you think? And how was that experience for you? Any thoughts you have, send me an email, worldofaora@gmail.com. Now, that's everything I have to say lore-wise. Not a lot of lore in today's episode, but I think something to like just kind of reflect on as we gear up for the release of Avowed and think about the history and understand where your player character comes from. Because Avowed is certain to have cameos and to have Easter eggs and to have lore and discussion that has to do with your player character, right? Like, that makes sense from a narrative design point. Obviously, you want to have lore coming at you from all different angles, but one of the points of entry, I think, to get people into it is explaining where your character comes from, because you're invested in your character's story. And so knowing about the shield bearers might be something that is helpful for you to appreciate the game of Avowed a little bit more. Of course, we'll have to wait until the actual game comes out to see, but you know, that's my idea anyways. So that's everything for today's episode. What have I been playing lately is usually what I talk about now. I'm still kind of having trouble bouncing into a game, but I think I finally settled on one of two games. The first one being Chrono Trigger, and I'm playing that on my phone through Android. And I'm basically playing this kind of as my 10 minutes at a time kind of a game because it's on my phone. And also because it's been on my list forever, people have been recommending it. It is a staple of the JRPG genre, so I had to give it a shot. But the game that kind of really has my attention right now is the game Prey, developed by Arkane, came out in 2017 or 2018, I think, one of those 2 years. That is the game I've been playing right now. I did buy System Shock for a little bit there, the remake, and I was playing that, and it was super fun, and I thought that's what I was going to stick with. But I was already over budget this month for my game spending, and then when Alpha Protocol came out, I was like, I need to have that. So I refunded System Shock, because I thought to myself that the game would get a little samey after a while, and I spent the money to have Alpha Protocol. And then what I went and did is I went and looked through my Epic's games list, and I found, oh, I have Prey, and I've never played it, and people have raved about that game being great. And it's kind of in the vein of System Shock, right? So I downloaded it, I've been playing it, and honestly, like, right now, the only thing I'm thinking about and wanting to do is play that game. But, you know, I have to edit this episode right away, so I'm going to do that first. But I want to do it quickly. So if this episode sounds like crap, it's because I wanted to play Prey as fast as I possibly could. So that's what I've been doing. I know it's an old game, there's not really much of a conversation I can have about it, but I don't know, it's fun. And it definitely, like, it makes you question everything, you know, like, for those who aren't aware of what the game is, you're on a space station and there are these things called mimics that can just turn into everyday objects that you see on the space station. So you walk into a room and you see a desk with four chairs around it. And you're like, is one of those chairs actually a mimic and it's going to come out and kill me right away? So I walk into a room and I'm just smashing all of the coffee cups with a wrench. I'm running up to tables and beating them over the head with it. It's just because I'm like, I swear you're going to be a mimic, right? And so it's been interesting. I'm not very far into it, so I can't comment a lot, but it definitely keeps me on edge. I am shamelessly save scumming. I walk into a room, I save scum, I try to find mimics, and if they get the jump on me and hurt me a lot, I'll totally reload that save. I have no shame about it. I don't care. I don't want to go scrounging for a lot of items to heal myself. I just want to enjoy the game. And you know what? I am. So far, great game. But that's everything for today's episode. Thanks everyone for hanging in there. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have a comment, question, or concern, again, email me, worldofayora@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter, @worldofayora, for show updates. And if you want to support the show, head over to my Ko-fi account. That's ko-fi.com/worldofayora. Again, that's ko-fi.com/worldofayora if you want to support the show in any way. I appreciate it a lot. Anything that happens on there will go to two places. One, it'll buy my wife a coffee because she deserves it, and she allows for this podcast to exist. It gives me the space to do so. But secondly, it'll go towards anything podcast related. So maintaining hardware, something like that, or even, you know, going on a podcast network one day if that actually gets to happen, which would reach a wider audience. And that's something I'd be interested in. But again, that'll be on people if they want to donate. That's there for them. And if you don't want to donate to support the show, that is 100% fine. Don't feel like you have to do it. That's just there for people who want to do that. So there you go. Thanks everyone for listening to today's episode about the Shield Bearers of Saint Elja, a paladin order of people set within the history of the Aedirn Empire, which is the place that your player character from Avowed comes from. So it might be relatable when we play the game. Hope you've enjoyed it. I've been your host, Eric, aka Gingerino, and I'll see you guys next time.